says, a man always wears a belt and always carries a pocket knife. I'm one for two today, I guess. But he also added to that number two, you only have one mother, treat her right. All the moms said, there we go. Craig said, as a dad, I now understand that it really did hurt him worse than it hurt me. Carmen said, duct tape can fix anything. You know the corollary to that. If you can't fix it with duct tape, you're not using enough duct tape, right? It's kind of the way that one works. Dwayne said, integrity at all costs. He said, we would joke that my dad pays too much in taxes to the government. Even when no one was looking, he did the right thing. James added, my dad taught me to stay out of prison. Okay. Joshua said his dad told him, if you're on time, you're already late. And then he added, I'm still learning this one. How many of us are still learning the lessons that our fathers have passed on to us? And finally, Harvey said, when I turned 18, my father took me to dinner and apologized for anything he did as a father that might have hurt me. And he shared some moments when he felt like he overcorrected me and told me how it had made him sad, that he loved me and hoped that if I learned anything at all from him, that a man, a husband, and a father needs to be humble enough to ask for forgiveness from others, say when they are sorry when they are sorry. He says, now I'm 33 and my relationship with him is very strong. He's my best friend and confidant. Yeah. Boy, when my sons turn 18, if we go have that dinner, it'll be a long dinner. I'll have a lot of things I'll have to talk through there. But dads will receive the proper attention today. But I really want to address all of us. I want to talk about how the whole family can impact the next generation. It's not easy to be a father. Looking through Scripture, there are a lot of examples of good fathers, and there are some examples of not so good fathers. So I chose to pull an example from the Old Testament, an example from the New Testament, and focus in on spiritual fathers, applying that to all of our lives today. If you've got your outline, you've got your Bible, the Scripture will be up on the screen. First thing, I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to begin with verse 19. And from the Old Testament, I want to look at the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. And this is how they came together. God in the previous verses had told Elijah to go and to anoint Elisha. And so when we get to verse 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak, or his coat, or perhaps your translation or version says his mantle around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. First words there. Elijah went from there and found Elisha. May sound obvious, but it's the key I want to begin with today. The older went after the younger. Elijah goes up to Elisha and takes this cloak or coat or mantle, and he puts it around him. Now, this wasn't just because Elisha was cold and needed something to warm him up or needed a new coat or something like that. This was a culturally significant act. It caused Elisha to know that the man of God was now going to be his spiritual mentor, his spiritual father, that he was to follow him. It was significant. It was an appropriate touch or bonding or connection point between the two. And you can see the effect in the very next verse, because Elijah went from there and Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. His next words, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Now, some people have said that perhaps this was an excuse and Elisha was maybe trying to get out of it. Craig Keener writes, that's probably not the case. He said, usually in Scripture you can see the request for a kiss and the offer of a kiss to come more for a greeting than from a farewell. But he said, here you can imply that he was actually looking for a blessing. A father or a grandfather would give a kiss as a blessing. He uses examples from Genesis chapter 27, Isaac blessing Jacob. Genesis 31, 31, Laban to Rachel and the grandchildren when Jacob was fleeing. And then Genesis chapter 48, verse 10, Jacob to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Keener adds the butchering of the oxen, the giving of the meat, everyone celebrating, added the meal to the blessing that Elisha was seeking from his father and his mother. So we have a combined impact here. We've got the spiritual blessing, the man of God coming, saying, follow me. And then we've got the biological mom and dad giving their blessing. That combined into Elisha's life at this beginning of the process of Elijah and Elisha together. Today, more than ever, we need the older to go after the younger. We need to figuratively pinch some cheeks again. When was the last time you put your cloak around someone younger coming up behind you? How can you show that appropriate bonding, connection, touch, that way to connect and go to their events? Often with children and with youth, it's not them coming and doing what we want to do. It's us going to what they enjoy doing. How many parents can relate this last school year? You feel like a taxi cab driver more than anything. Let's get to this event. Let's take them to this. Let's run over to here. Going to what's important to them shows you're wanting to connect in their world. And then as you pass on the spiritual heritage in their life, as they've connected, they receive that combined blessing that we see in the life of Elisha. Central Assembly, how can we combine our love, our wisdom, our experience, and pass on to the next generation what's been passed on to us? Well, let's flip forward a few pages and look at that. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Let's look at Elijah's legacy that lives on in Elisha. We just looked at how they came together. Now I want to look at the final time and when they're together here on earth. Verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 2 says, when they had crossed, and this is the Jordan River, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. As they were walking along and talking together, and let me just pause here in your mind. Can you see this scene? Can you picture it? And I think J.J. Abrams or Steven Spielberg would have difficulty putting this up in a way that's more vivid than perhaps our minds can imagine it. But see Elijah and Elisha after this time together. It's their final act being in each other's presence. And suddenly, can you see it? Chariots of fire, horses of fire appear from heaven. They come down. They separate the two. Elisha cries out to him, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took his own clothes and tore them apart. And catch the next verse, 15. He picked up the cloak, this mantle that had fallen. As he walks back to that same Jordan River that they'd crossed before, this time Elisha takes the cloak. He strikes the river. The waters part to the right and the left, and he walks across on dry land. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. I want to speak to the older generation that's here today. Perhaps as you look at your life, you see heaven drawing nearer and nearer. You know, in the next few years and decades, you're drawing closer to that time in God's presence. There's more of your life that's been lived here on earth that's left. You begin to wonder, is God through with my life? Does God still have a plan or a way to use me? This morning, I'm here to reassure you, God still wants to use your life. God still wants you to pour into the next generation that's coming up behind you, the biblical values that have been left in your life. And so the question may very well become, what spiritual legacy am I leaving behind? When I'm in heaven with God, how will the impact of my time here on this earth continue to impact those that come behind me? Elijah, knowing that his time was near, thinking these things through, turns to Elisha and says, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Wouldn't it be powerful if a generation of seniors would turn to a generation of children and youth coming behind them and say, tell us, what can we do for you before we are taken from you? And wouldn't it be just as powerful if that generation of children and youth would look and say, we don't care about your money, we don't care about this or that or whatever the list, we want your spirit. We want a double portion of what God's done in your life poured out on our life. When you were older, those who are older, when you were younger, who are the spiritual giants that impacted your life? When you first came to know Jesus, who are the people that really shaped and molded who you are today? Who are those that you learned lessons from, that you saw live out the Word of God? Probably a pastor, perhaps a Sunday school teacher, a Royal Ranger leader, a Missionettes or Impact Girls leader, a youth pastor, a youth leader. Who are those people? A neighbor, someone else in the church, or many of us a parent who modeled those things. I think about my own life. There are so many in this congregation who have shaped and molded me. I am a spiritual product of your input onto me. Royal Rangers, youth, on and on and on. I see many here today that have shaped me. I thank you for that. And I also think no one probably shaped my life more than my dad. My mom and dad are here sitting with my wife today. Glad to have them here with us. When I think about the impact of my dad, how many of you learned to pray by hearing someone else pray? Sure, all of us. We learn to worship by watching those around of us worship. And I see the impact of how my dad has passed on to me a spiritual legacy. It's amazing to think how nature and nurture combine in our lives. Not too long, just the last few weeks, Melissa turned to me one day. We were talking about my dad. She goes, you know, there is no one quite like your dad. Now, I think she meant that positively. She paused just a few minutes as we're talking. A few seconds later, she also says, until you look in the mirror. And we started talking about how we walk the same way. There's certain ways we talk. We put our hands. We stand. There are so many similarities. And it jumped out again just last month. Melissa and I were out of town, and Colin had his end of the school year field trip to Silver Dollar City. And since I couldn't go, my dad, Opa, took Colin. So we got grandfather and grandson spending the day at Silver Dollar City. They check in at lunch with the teachers in the classroom and have lunch together. On Monday, we see the teacher. Teacher's first words were, oh my. We could tell the two of them went together. She started going down through the list of everything that seeing Colin all school year and immediately seeing my dad, Opa, how the similarities were there. Nature, nurture, we pick up the habits of the people that are around us. Thankful for the spiritual heritage that's being poured into my life. I'm hoping to pour that same thing, pass on those same lessons into my boys. A few years back when the boys were younger, we'd get ready to leave church, hop in the car, start up, and I'd say, hey, what'd you learn in church today? I don't know. Next week, hey, what'd you learn today in Kids Zone? I don't know. Like, after a little bit of that, knowing Pastor Justin, strong Bible content, strong application, being in there and hearing him working away through, knowing in the youth service there's a message from God, there's prayer time, there's application, building up students, knowing that there's something there, yet we can't get it out of the church, let alone into the parking lot and driving home, begin to tell my family, okay, here's what we're going to do, as Melissa and I talked about it. Every day when we leave church, we're going to ask, what did we learn in church today? And we'll go around the car, and all of us will share whatever it was, wherever we were at. So the first week, hey, okay, we're ready. What'd you learn today? I don't know. Came out again. I said, okay, well, let's talk about it a little bit. And it took a little while to kind of work through it. What was the Bible story? Oh, well, it was about Jonah. Oh, well, it was about this fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it was about... And the next week, okay, what'd you learn? After doing that for a couple months, getting in the routine where we're starting to think and focus so that we know we're going to talk about it later, we've got something to share, then it became, okay, how do we live that out? What's that mean this week at our house? What's that mean to you? And we began to talk about that. I realized that it was probably as helpful or more for me than it was for the family. Because Melissa and I would do the same thing. One of us would take Sunday school. One of us would take the main service. So after the boys went, or sometimes we go first. Okay, Dad, what'd you learn? It was Hebrews 11, and there's this really great guy. You know, it forced me to pull out my notes, to talk not only about what had been shared, but how does that apply to my life? How do I live that out this week? And as time progressed and we moved through this a little bit more, we kind of moved to the final stage where maybe once or twice a week I'll try in one of those teachable moments or maybe time together, a prayer where it pops up just right, to take one of those lessons and apply it right back into whatever it is that we're talking. Remember Sunday, we talked about this. This is how we live that out. So in our family, one of the ways in which we're trying to steward the spiritual legacy that's been passed on to us and pass that on to the next generation is taking what we learn at church past the parking lot. So I challenge you, ask your family, what did you learn today? Walk through. The primary discipler of any child is always the parent. Back to Abraham, back to Deuteronomy 6, throughout Proverbs, throughout Scripture, it's woven in there. God's challenge and command for all of us, grandparents, parents, to pour into the next generation. As a church, we're to come alongside and help that. But as a spiritual parent, your role, your job, how do we pass those values on? Develop the family habit of taking home from church what you learn at church. So as you've thought about the spiritual giants that have impacted your life, that have made a difference to you and through you and for you, the question for each of us becomes, who are you a spiritual giant to in the same way they were a spiritual giant to you? Whose life are you impacting? Who are you passing on to? It may be a biological, but it may be a spiritual son or daughter whose life you continue to impact. Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. The spirit of Elijah was resting on Elisha. What are you leaving the next generation? Well, from the Old Testament, we looked at Elijah, we looked at Elisha. Of course, they weren't biological father and son. It was a spiritual father and son relationship. In the New Testament, I want to look at Paul in the same way. Didn't have any physical or biological children, yet he was a spiritual parent to many. One of those examples is the church at Thessalonica. I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Paul describes everything that we're talking about today as he writes to some of his spiritual children. He says, "We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Now, Paul's echoing Isaiah 66:13, where the Lord says, "As a mother comforts her children, so will I comfort you." And this morning, I want to include everybody. We're talking to fathers, and we're talking about spiritual fathers, but I'd like to talk about spiritual mothers today, like a mother caring for her little children. I hear those words. I think about when our boys were much younger. I think about Melissa, how sometimes the next morning she'd get up and say, "Hey, you remember about 1 a.m. when whichever boy it was back in those years would start crying out?" I'd be like, "Really? Last night? You know, while we were..." "Yeah, and then later, about 3 a.m, started crying again." "Really? Last night? Both of our..." You know, man, I could sleep right through it. You know, how many dads can kind of connect? But a mom in tune to the cries of her child. Often, she'd know by the sound of the cry. That's something where they just woke up and kind of need left alone. They'll go back to sleep on their own. Or they hungry? Or they frightened? What does she need to do? How does she go and comfort those children? We need spiritual mothers today, in tune to the cries of the next generation, listening, pouring in, comforting. Thankful in our youth ministry for Fusion Moms, Teresa DeVries, and she's always looking for more moms that'll come in and kind of help love students, be there supporting and helpful. If that's something you could do to pour into the next generation, talk with Pastor Sherry or Adam or Teresa. Paul talks about spiritual moms in verses 7 and 8. He continues the analogy, verses 11 and 12. He says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." We need spiritual fathers today, encouraging, urging students to live lives worthy of God. Have you committed your time to pour into the life of the generation that's coming behind you? Some of us in youth ministry are beginning to examine and try to make the shift from instead of one adult in a small group pouring into 5 or 10 youth, how does the whole family pour the lives of 5 adults into 1 youth? An arm around the shoulder, an encouraging word, connecting at a level, praying for somebody. How can you connect with the next generation? I mentioned the Royal Ranger leaders that have impacted and changed my life. Perhaps it's Rangers. Perhaps God would use you to mentor the boys of our family here at Central. Perhaps it's Impact Girls and Missionettes. Perhaps it's youth. Talk with Pastor Justin. Talk with Pastor Sherry or Adam. How can God use you? Summer's a great time as we transition into the summer events. Get ready for the fall, looking for new people to plug in as we go back to school in just a couple of short months. We need spiritual mothers and fathers. How can you help? Fourth and finally, Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. And so I want to look at what he wrote to his spiritual son, the example here, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Talk to the older generation, talk to spiritual mothers, talk to spiritual fathers. I'd like to talk to the youth that are in the building today and challenge them as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." I'm going to kind of walk down here. You guys sat up front. That means I get to pick on you. Is that okay? I know some of you in the balcony may not be able to see me. I won't be too here. Paul's got a great challenge here. Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. Pastor Sherry, Adam, we love this verse in youth ministry. Now, Paul was a little older. He wasn't a teenager here. He was leading the church, but the principle still applies. God's saying, you don't have to wait until you're old like I am. You don't have to wait until you've graduated from high school. You don't have to wait until you've done this or that. None of that. God says, I've got a plan for your life, and it's already started. I want to use you right now. Go for it. And to the youth that are here today, God's got a plan for your life, but after that great opportunity, God wants to use you. He follows up with the challenge, but set an example for the believers. 5 things he listed, and we could spend the whole morning there, but I'm just going to list through. Speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Now, we like to talk as teenagers, right? I mean, that's just something that we're mostly pretty good at, right? I mean, I know school just ended a few weeks ago, but if you think back about a month ago, we spend most of the day talking. If you're like me, I always got in trouble for talking when I wasn't supposed to be talking during class. And as soon as school's over, we start texting again and Facebook and talking and talking and talking, right? Yeah, that's something that we like to do, huh? God says, set an example in speech, in what we're saying, in the way we're saying it. Do other people see Jesus through our speech, through our life, the way that we live, through the love of God that pours out of our life, through the faith that we've received from others that Paul received, that Paul gave to Timothy, and Timothy now is passing on to the church that he pastored? Speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. God has an opportunity for all of us and a challenge for all of us. How do we pass on those biblical values? How do we live it in such a way that they catch it and see it through our lives? How can God use you to pass on to the next generation those things that have been given to you? As I wrap things up, I want to challenge us to show, whether they're biological children or spiritual children, but those that you're influencing and pouring into, a little TLC. The back of your outline, you've got 3 blanks. Those stand for TLC. Now, we're all familiar with tender loving care, and I picked this up from Jay Mooney, who picked it up from our own Richard Hammer, adapted it to fit here. But I want to give you 3 practical ways and list just some ideas. I'm going to go back to some of the inputs some of my friends on Facebook gave me and quote some of them here. But how can you today, How can you, as a spiritual mother, as a spiritual father, show TLC to those you're impacting? First of all, T, touch. We talked about Elijah's cloak and how that culturally appropriate act of connecting, of bonding, of embracing, of touch meant so much between them. How do we touch today? Parents need to model appropriate touch. Children will look for the right type of touch, and if they don't find it, that loving embrace within the family, they'll look someplace else. Josh, who's dad passed away just a couple of years ago prematurely, said, hug and kiss your family a lot. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to let them know just how crazy you are about them. My dad left this earth without a doubt in my mind of how much he really loved us. James said, didn't have a dad growing up, but a father in the church shared this with me. James, your kids won't remember the color of the couch, but they will remember that you wrestled with them on it. Colin's going to come up and show something that we picked up. We didn't invent this. How many of you know what a bro hug is? See your hand. A few of us know what a bro hug is. Some of us, we're going to show you, Colin and me, what a bro hug is. Ready, bud? Hey, how you doing? That's a bro hug. Now, one more time. One more time. Let's do it slow motion. Ready? Grab hands, pull close, slap on the back, right? I think that's Colin's favorite part. Thank you very much, Colin, for showing what a bro hug is. My wife tells us that girls don't like to wrestle so much. So the wrestle on the couch thing, the slap on the back thing, that's for the guys. But the bro, how whatever it looks like to you, one of the things that happens in youth ministry on Wednesday night over at Fusion is there's always some kind of creative greeting at the beginning. It's kind of a derivation of the bro hug. I mean, it can be some type of a funny greeting, handshake, something. Ask your family when you pick them up on Wednesday night, if they're in youth, okay, what was the greeting today? And then it may need to be outside to show you what it looked like, because there's often some, you know, grabbing feet and handing and that kind of thing. But touch. Hug your family. Show them, model appropriate touch. L, love. Love. Paul showed love as a spiritual parent, spiritual father, spiritual mother. How do we show love to those that we're impacting? Of course, say I love you. Sometimes as a dad, that's harder for us to express those emotions and those feelings. Maybe it helps to write them out ahead of time and practice that. I know my own wife has received letters at significant moments in her life from her dad where he's written beautifully the impact of what her life has meant to him and still keeps those and treasures them. But love, say, I love you. Love is also shown in time and spending time together. How can you share love with time together? One of the quotes here from Tom says, no father ever regretted spending too much time with their kids. You don't know how much time you have, so make it count. Here's just a few ideas. These aren't all original with us, but different families we've seen doing different things. You can come up with your own idea that's even better. There's no service tonight. This is a great afternoon and evening to spend some time together. But why not go on a surprise drive or trip? A few weeks ago, we woke our boys up early in the morning before they were ready to get up, said, surprise, get up, we're going. Loaded them in the van and just started driving. They did not know where we were going or what they were doing. They're still wiping the sleep out of their eyes. All we gave them was a map and they can figure it out as we went. What a fun time together. You could drive to the lake. You could drive to Busiek State Park and do a hike. You could drive to Andes. You could drive to a park right here in town. Doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but time together. This last school year, Nathan and I, at his suggestion, started doing a guy's breakfast. So I'd drop him off at school, and one morning a week, we'd leave about a half an hour early. That's all it was. We drove up to Big Mama's Coffee up on Commercial Street. I got my breakfast burrito. He got his yogurt parfait. 20 minutes or so in there, we didn't have necessarily this great agenda of deep things we were going to talk about. It was just time together. Hang out, got to know the guy there, jump back in the car, drop him off at school. You could, in 10 minutes, drive through McDonald's and pick up a breakfast burrito. Time together. How can you spend time? I've noticed in my life, This is one of the biggest enemies to time with my family. My phone will tell me how many emails I have waiting for me. So somebody showed me and I just went in and figured out how to turn that thing off. So now when I see there's no little number that pops up there to grab it from me, there's text messages, there's Facebook, there's all kinds of temptation on here that keep me plugged into everything that's going on. So a lot of times this is sitting in another room. I don't even see it when I'm at home. This afternoon, won't have my phone anywhere near me so that there's no interruptions to the time that we have. Our family reads a book together in the summer. Actually, my wife reads it, and we listen. What a great opportunity to just kind of hang out and connect. This summer, it's Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, grab The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The chapters are short. Read one of them. The next week, read the next chapter. You can crank that out. It's just time together. Perhaps it's a game. Now be careful, if you tell your kids, hey, go pick whatever game you want, you may end up in a marathon version of Monopoly or Risk that you didn't count on, or worse yet, you might have a video controller in your hand that you have no hope of ever winning. So be careful what you ask and plan for. I'm still wondering, growing up, when I played video games with my dad on that old Intellivision system, did I really beat him all those times or did he let me win? I don't know. We'll have to talk about that maybe over lunch today. But it was time together. I remember that. We have friends that most Friday night is pizza and video night. So they look forward to that time together on Friday night. How can you spend time together as a family? Appropriate touch, love, and finally see. Compliment. How can you compliment? What can you find positive that you can share with those whose life you're impacting? Darren on Facebook told me, I will freely tell them how proud I am of them, talking about his family. Encouragement doesn't cost a cent, yet it is priceless. Encourage with a compliment. Today, TLC. How can you, appropriate touch, how can you show that love by saying, I love your time? How can you compliment? If you haven't done it yet, pull out your phone, text message your dad, give him that call when you get to the parking lot. Maybe send a text message or Facebook greeting to those who have impacted your life as spiritual parents, who have shaped and molded who you are in Jesus. Tonight, as we come to a close at the end of the service this morning, again, I want to challenge fathers and encourage you. Being a dad, it's hard, difficult. I think sometimes my family learn as much when I blow it, and we try to walk through that, as when I get it right. So we're sure not perfect, but our Heavenly Father helps us. But I want to challenge all of us, the whole family, spiritual mothers. I want to challenge the youth and those that are coming up behind. How can we continue what God's doing in our life and pass that on? So in conclusion, I want everybody that's 20 or under to stand. You're 20, 21, somewhere along and through there. You're anywhere in there, balcony, floor, wherever you're at in the building. If that's you, you're a youth, you're here today, and I'm going to have you come forward. So just start coming down now. I know it's going to take you a little while from the top to come down. I want you to line up around the front. We're going to conclude with some time of prayer. In a moment, dads, I'm going to have you come down. I'm going to have the whole family come, and there'll be some here that may need a spiritual mom or dad whose parents aren't here. There may be some here college age or here for the summer and may need a spiritual mom or dad to come down and connect with them. But first, 20, 22, anywhere in that range, if you want to come down, they're still coming. Give you a couple more minutes as we work our way down. Man, what a great group of summertime on Father's Day. The children, of course, are all across in Kids Zone. Colleges aren't in session, but yet a great group of youth. So the last few are working their way down in. I believe in you. Believe in what God's going to do in and through and to your lives. And I said it earlier, and I want to say it one more time. God has an opportunity and a challenge. Right now, God wants to use your life. It's already started, his plan of how he's shaping and molding you. There's a challenge with that. Set the example. We as a church, the whole family of God, we want to help you with that. We're going to come alongside, put the arm around the shoulder. We want you to know that we're praying for you, that we believe in you. I grew up here in this church, and those prayers and that modeling and that impact and the Sundays and the Wednesdays and the trips and everything that so many people in here poured into me, we pledge that to you. We believe in you. And as a family, as spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, God's going to continue to use your life. So keep Jesus number one will be here to help. Now, if you want to turn around, you want to face everybody out here, I want to ask all the dads to stand in the room. All the dads that are here, stand up to your feet. Thank you. Thanks for being here again today. Thanks for letting God use your life. Thanks for the impact that you're having here. Perhaps these aren't your children. You're older and they're someplace else. But thank you for the impact that you're having. Some of you are spiritual dads to students and people and children and youth that life you've impacted through the decades and continue to. I want to invite all the dads to come down. Take a minute or two. We've got some time at the end. So right now while I'm talking, dads, come on down. If your biological kids are here, man, move right to them. And I know it's going to get packed pretty quick. So if we need to go up the side, we're not going to have room for everybody to get there, and that's fine. But some of you spiritual dads who your kids aren't down here, but you still love the next generation, you're giving your life to pour into them, to pass on what God is doing. I just want you to come close so that you can begin to pray and reach out a hand. Dads, you may need to move a little bit inside the altar here because we've got plenty more people that are coming, and just kind of work your way around as best that you can. Love to have at least a hand in the general direction, if not around the shoulder. The students that are down here, if your son or daughter's here, just kind of wedge your way through there a little bit. As they're coming, and I'm going to give them another minute or two because there's one more thing I'm going to share before we pray. But I'd like the rest of us to stand. The spiritual moms that are in the room, the others that are here, you'd say, I love God. I love the whole family. I want God to continue to use me because I'm going to have in a minute have you stretch out your arms. And as a family, as the whole family, students, we don't get it right as parents all the time. So we need you to do a little TLC with us. We need that hug. We need that love. We need that time. We need that compliment. So today before you leave, your mom and dad are here. I want you to do that with them. Tell them you love them. Compliment them. Pray for mom and dad as they are praying for you. Now as a family, let's pray together. Believe for God to shape and mold and use us. The youth that you're around, those who are here who don't have children, just reach out your arms. The spiritual mothers that are here, it's the whole family. God, we look to you this morning. We thank you as a heavenly father that you are perfect. You're the example. No matter what the status of an earthly father we may have had, you are the one we look to. So God, we thank you for pouring into us men and women who have shaped our lives, moms and dads. God, we thank you for dads. Lord, use us. Lord, I believe in a generation that's going to continue to build your kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit, share you with a world that needs you, live out the values that are being passed on to them. Use them today, God. Lord, I pray for dads. Lord, let your Holy Spirit guide them. Speak to us the wisdom that we need as we try to lead a family, as we try to lead our children. Lord, if there's a dad here today that would say, I'm away from God, I need Jesus, I need that commitment, Lord, let them find someone here this morning to talk to about drawing closer to you and committing everything in their life, looking to you for the help and the guidance to be the spiritual father that you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you created families. We thank you that you created fathers. We thank you for the opportunity that we have. Use us, God. In your name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.